Bob Hoy, editor and chief investment strategist of Institutional Advisors.
Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Chris, and also with your listeners. Well, let's call it the turn of the year.
Starting the 12th year, consecutive year here at GoldSeek.com Radio. Give us your outlook, if you care to, for 2017. Hard to believe it's 2017. I thought the world was going to come to an end first. Supposedly, the Mayan calendar was wrapping up a Bakhtun in 2012, but things are still rolling forward. What do you see here?
Oftentimes, looking over your shoulder is a good way of looking at things. And in looking over my shoulder, I look back to, in June, you had the disastrous start last January, February, mainly because crude oil was plunging down to 26 and credit spreads were widening. And, it was a lot of people caught offside big time on that one, which became extremely oversold. It clicked on all our technical indicators, so then looked for the recovery. And then here's the part in looking over the shoulder. In June, looking backwards, something started to turn positive. Stocks started to act a little better after a great zoom, but then there was sort of a stability there, and then things are. And then you went into the election in November, and some people have got on board the Trump win as then being the event. But I look at it as that there was a positive wave came through, and that Trump win was part of this positive movement. And then and of course it was quite a surprise, although on July 4th we published a paper calling it the American Spring, and asked if that political movement, the American Spring, would be successful, and deliberately used a country or rural expression, which was, you bet. So it was successful, and you can see a drop in tax rates for business and individuals, very positive. You can see quite a diminishment in rules and regulations, very positive. And this is now in the market, so you have some sectors quite overbought. We just noticed here this morning that the oil patch is overbought, the XLE stock, and NVIDIA is screamingly overbought, although it's had a huge correction. So a lot of the potential good news is in the marketplace. And I have no doubt, as Trump has put together his cabinet, that his policies, which lower taxes and less regulation, will be affected. They will go in. And it's just how much, how much regulation to get rid of, and do they really get down to 15%? We don't know. There'll be some bargaining, but the main thing is in the market. So we have getting excesses on our technical measures. And a couple of weeks ago, we got them in the bank stocks, which had been fabulous. But what made the banks and financials really good was that the yield curve turned to steepening, and of course the curve is the difference between short rates and long rates in treasuries, and banks like a steepening curve. It really helps with their margins. And then as you came into the November with the win, the long rates really went up sharply relative to the shorts. And that really steepened the curve, so the bank stocks flew. And you've got now, a few weeks ago, these recorded upside exhaustions and our sequential sells. And we usually allow a few weeks when you get those signals for the action to roll over, and they're beginning to do that now. And then what we sort of opened up with was the turn of the year stuff. And oftentimes you can have an important high at the turn of the year. How about 1973? And the bear market followed. You had Tokyo, the Nikkei bubble in 1989. You know, Chris, that's now a long time ago. And that blew out right at the first of the year. And then one of the great big parties was the gold and silver market up to, I think it was January 20th of 1980. So if you have something big going on, going into late December, early January, you could be looking for a turn-of-the-year top in here. So we've got the excesses, and we've got the timing, and it should be a pretty good correction. There's not enough to call for a top of a bull market, but there's enough to call for a correction.
You know, the irony there is that there was every technical opportunity for the market to just simply fall out of bed. After the election, it was just off to the races, as you've outlined. So many of the top pundits, they really have a lot of pie on their faces, because there was just call after call of the top in this bull market for over the last 2 years during that lengthy consolidation. But, you know, always in the back of my mind, I'm looking at those trends, and I'm thinking, you know, each time this market was knocked down, it came roaring back at an accelerated clip. What's your feeling on commodities? Will they continue to advance as we saw early in 2016?
We had the crash in commodities because in 2014, when crude was at 105, 107, we were calling for a bear market back to one-third or even a quarter of the high. Well, one-third of the high was 37, and one-quarter of the high was 27. That's right, I remember those numbers. And thinking that the 27 would be out there sometime ahead, but it crashed all the way down till January, February. So then you had exhausted market, capitulated market, and rebound. This is where we've got great excitements here now. But as to the year in commodities, crude can maybe go up until around February, maybe a little flat spot, a bit of a correction in January because there's a pretty good seasonal in crude. Base metals, I think they're in a broad trading range. You can look at the chart and you can see the last high and then the previous low, which we're now down towards the low. And the same for the grains. They've been pretty doggy for the last few weeks. So commodities and U.S. dollar terms, here's the real key to it, Chris, is that in previous post-bubble contractions, and this the 2007 bubble had many characteristics of 1929 or 1873, where you do get a world change and you go into a long credit contraction, and this is, I argue that this is where we are. We're on the first business expansion out of the 2009 crash, and it's been a long expansion. So with this, in previous post-bubble contractions, the senior currency has become chronically strong against most other currencies and most commodities for most of the time. I mean, there's a lot. You had, for example, in the boom to 2008 and then another rally up to 2011, the real price base metals relative to the producer price index exceptionally high. Like, it really went up and it stayed high for a long time. Now, what does that do? It encourages a lot of expansion and capacity. So there's a lot of base metals around. And then you have a technological revolution in crude oil going on, following that for natural gas. So there's a lot of commodities around. So in U.S. dollar terms, which will be firm to steady, that puts a lid on commodity prices. Then you look at the massive increase in supply for base metals and also for for the energy sector, hey, there's a lot of it around. So all you can do is sort of catch shorter trades, overbought to oversold and back again. But as to looking for a major bull market in base metals, in grains, and in crude oil, not on the cards for this one. Which then gets us to the precious metals sector, which is going to be and has been the same influences with a firming U.S. dollar. Now, the U.S. dollar was rising before the Trump win, and I don't think it was rising in discounting the Trump win. It was just firming up. Is that what it was? And then the Trump win is added to it. So you have, in reality, a firming U.S. dollar, which is part of a post-bubble contraction. So we don't see any huge rallies possible for the precious metals sector either. I think those precious metals analysts who seek fame, as we've used the line before, all you have to do is crank out a forecast for gold for $10,000 and you're immediately famous, but I'm a modest person, Chris. I didn't even try for half of fame. All we can do is go back to what worked in previous post-bubble contractions was that the price of gold, no matter what it was firm relative to most commodities, particularly crude oil, which represents energy costs. And let's face it, mining uses a lot of energy. So the real price of gold relative to the producer price index has been going up for about a year now. And our thesis is that rising real price for gold represents profit margins for mining the stuff. And so long as the real price of gold is going up, it will be constructive for the gold and silver mining industry. And then if you look, looking over the shoulder again, Chris, way back in history, on each post-bubble contraction where ordinary commodities were soft, they were weak relative to gold. So each post-bubble depression, let's call it that, as well as a credit contraction, gold mining has been the premier industry. And because, if you've got weak base metal prices following a big boom in base metals, but you got overcapacity. So, like in 2011, it was very difficult to get huge tires for the huge earth-moving equipment. Now there's no problem. So it's swinging in gold's favor, and we believe it's very constructive, and we have a few of our technical tools that we monitor looking for the next buying opportunity in the precious metal sector. And by the way, we should back up on this one. As in July, early July, the whole sector became extremely overbought. And our advice was that a significant, we use the term significant correction for the sector would follow. And it has. But as I say, we've now got a set of technicals that we're looking for to try and find the next buying opportunity in the sector.
We appreciate your candor. It's important to maintain balance when it comes to news and insights, topicality, and you certainly waste no effort whatsoever pandering to the audience. It's great to have someone who is going to present a balanced and honest perspective on the markets, and you've done that for quite some time, and essentially you've been right. So hat tip for that. But interesting to note that the president-elect picked a budget chief who not only is a precious metals bug, but an active investor in gold and mining stocks who appreciates them as a hedge against currency issues and volatility. I thought this individual, Mick Mulvaney, was an interesting pick. Very unconventional, kind of step outside the political arena as we try to do here. We favor the precious metals sector. Just more breaking news on India's situation where, of course, President Modi made this astounding decision, as we've talked about, to essentially shut down the whole economy in order to go suddenly digital out of the blue, sent one of the world's largest economies into over 1.2 billion people in that nation. Everything's come to a screeching halt.
That's diabolical. Those guys are control freaks of the first order, and they're so far into it that they can't reverse, and they're doing immense damage. I don't know whether you know Jayant Bhandari, and he has written a couple of very good pieces on it. As a matter of fact, he's in India right now. He's originally from India. So that is evil stuff that they're doing. But it's an example of the old intrusive. What's going on with England with Brexit and in the U.S. with what I've been calling the American Spring, that's the new. And the new is less intrusion, and the real movement is that people are taking over their government again. And along with this, they're going to take a look at what the evil guys have been doing to the currencies and say the main reason why the Fed has been offering excess credit is that it's been corrupted to funding another experiment in unlimited government. So it's providing unlimited funds. And the whole expansion of government and intrusion of government is based upon a perpetual motion notion of funding. And we're in a bear market for long treasuries. We're in a bull market for lower-grade bonds. But somewhere you'll get a bear market for lower-grade. So that I think that soon the credit markets are going to get more beat up than they have been. You know, we're looking for a bond rally in here now. That's on the long treasury. But there's a chance that this window of perpetual funding will be closed. We're going into a very practical world. I've called it a new bull market for common sense, which is coming from the public. And the November election is an example of common sense coming back in. Folks are going to look at every institution to decide whether it's helpful or not. And one of the ones that has not been helpful, has been absurd, is the central bank, the Federal Reserve System. And I think it will be disciplined. And how do you get discipline into a central bank? You go to a gold standard. The experts are not going to like it, but then the public is going to be taking over its government, getting rid of the experts. And that also involves taking over and having a convertible money, a convertible currency. But you can't say at what price it's going to happen.
Yes, but Bob Hoy, haven't you heard? There's just too much money in circulation.
Oh, yeah, but wait till this credit contraction gets going. I mean, when you're into a serious hard credit contraction and bonds are all being marked down to next to nothing, zero, defaults all over the place, that contracts the money supply, and you've got velocity considerations. So a gold standard is possible, and for the next decade or so, the premier industry should be the gold sector, with silver tagging on as being, another precious metal. So We're long-term bullish on the gold stocks.
Bob Hoy, as we wrap up today, any other forecast you'd like to give listeners? Is there any part of their portfolio, perhaps, that they should underweight, overweight, or any guidance?
For a long trade, quick in here, the long treasuries can rally. Somewhere in here, and we don't have a technical on it yet, that low-grade junk bonds are going to roll over and die big time, but we ain't there yet. The other thing is that we're waiting to begin to the next accumulation on gold stocks. So that's our
course, a disappointing end of 2016 with our favorite mining sector, that this is not a continuation of the previous five-year bear. It's more than likely a reaction to an extremely frothy advance in 2016, presenting some buying opportunities in your very favorite mining shares.
Yeah, because a year ago at Christmas, we were looking for our models to get in place for the buy, and we were looking for the bottom to be in sometime around Christmas, and that it would be followed by a new bull market, a cyclical bull market for the sector, and we're staying with that. The correction has been, we called in July, a significant correction. It's been more significant than we thought. We're close to having the little pieces fall into place that we need, and it will be a continuation of the cyclical bull market that started a year ago.
That's the soundbite, the Happy New Year's for everybody, and the silver and gold lining to the story. Bob, just a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Chris, and the best for you and all the people out there listening, and I enjoy coming on your show.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. We'll be right back.